Well, please turn with me to Luke chapter 20, reading earlier. I'll just read to you a few verses again from verse 21. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Show me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it? They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. So we're looking, friends, this evening at this passage of Scripture. It's a very important passage of Scripture, and it's a very interesting passage of Scripture. And we can learn a number of things from it. Well, my title for the message today is Our Obligations to God. The obligations that we have to the Lord. All of us owe God something. All of us owe him a lot, not just something. And we'll come to that in a moment. Now, when we look at this passage of Scripture, at first glance, you may think it's all about taxes and whether it's right to be paying taxes. You may think, oh, that's the thrust of this passage. Should or shouldn't we be paying taxes? Well, Christ answers that question. And he also adds a little bit more. He gives, in fact, a very profound answer. That's why at the end, after even these men had come to trap him, even they couldn't take hold of his words, even they marveled at the answer that Christ gave on this occasion. Of course, they should pay taxes. It's only right that they should be paying their taxes. Doesn't need to be asked really that question, but there was a little bit more to it than just paying taxes. But of course taxes should be paid because, well, the government puts a lot of things in place. Even at that time, the Romans had put in place the roads and the infrastructure that was there. So it was right for them to be paying taxes, even as it's right for us to be paying taxes, as much as we don't like to pay taxes, and it's not something they're very, very, very keen to do and wish we could avoid doing, but they're there for our benefit. The money that's collected, hopefully, is used to build the roads and the hospitals, to support the police, to make sure there's an ambulance or a fire brigade on call when you need them, to contribute towards the transport, the trains and the buses. So it's necessary and right only that we should each one make a contribution in terms of taxes. We owe the government, you could say, but we also owe God. We also have obligations to the Lord. We benefit so much from what he has done for us. He has loaded us with many gifts. We have many benefits that come directly from his hand. We live in his world. We breathe his air for free. Isn't it right that we should return something to him? He has filled our days with many good things. We have food on our table, breakfast, lunch, dinner, every day. Why? Because the sun shines. He causes the sun to shine. He sends the rain upon our land so that the crops can grow and we can have the food and the nourishment that we need without losing out. He has given us, furthermore, all the abilities, the powers that you have are given to you by God. We owe him, friends. These are gifts that he has entrusted you with, and we are in God's debt. So we have a responsibility, you could say, to render to Caesar, to render to the government the taxes due. But we also have a responsibility, and we could say a greater responsibility, to render to God the things that are God's. So that's what we'll be looking at today. Now in this passage, These men who came to Christ with this question were actually sent by the religious leaders. The leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, who hated Jesus and wanted to get rid of Jesus. But everything they tried failed. Why didn't they like Christ? Well, because he exposed their hypocrisy. They were religious people, but they were pretenders. They were not true believers. They were not true lovers of God. They were covetous. They were greedy. And the Lord exposed them for their hypocrisy as religious leaders. Everyone was looking up to them. The people were following these religious people. But when Jesus came on the scene, they started listening to Christ. They started following Christ instead. And these religious leaders became jealous and envious. Anyway, they tried often to trap him in his words, to get him to fall, but they failed each time. And this was just another occasion in which they were trying to do this. Instead of going directly themselves, somewhat cowardly, choose men and who to feign being just and righteous and good men, sincere people who are really interested in Christ. And these men, they come and in a very smooth way ask the Lord in verse 21, "Oh, we know that thou sayest, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly." They tried to smooth him, to catch him off guard with their smooth words, but it didn't work. He could see through their hypocrisy. He could see through their subtlety, and he knew exactly what they were up to. When they asked him in verse 22, "Is it lawful for us to give tribute, to give taxes unto Caesar or no?" He knew that they were trying to trap him. Well, this question, friends, that they ask him isn't as straightforward as it looks. It's actually, it's a little bit of an ethical question that they're asking him. It's a moral, a religious question that they are asking him. Is it morally, religiously right to give taxes to Caesar? Yes or no? They consider themselves as Jews a free people under God. God had freed them. They were no man's debtor, as it were. They would be made free by God himself. Why then should they pay taxes to a foreign invader, especially Caesar? Why should they pay taxes to Caesar? He had set himself up not only as a king, but as God, as a deity, as somebody to be worshipped. Wouldn't it be wrong? Isn't it morally wrong to pay taxes to somebody who sets himself up as a deity? Surely, Jesus, you have something to say on this. This man, Caesar, well, he did set himself up as a god. And he said he had supreme authority, not only in civil matters, but also in religious matters. And these Jews were saying, well, it would be treason. It would be treason against God if we pay taxes to this Roman king, to Caesar. "Jesus, what do you say? Is it lawful for us to give taxes to Caesar or no?" It's a trap question, friends. And Jesus, they expect, will answer one way or another. Either way, they've got him. If he answers in the affirmative and says, "Yes, you must pay this tribute, you must pay these taxes," then the people, the common people, will turn against him because he's making himself a friend of Rome. And his popularity then will decline, evaporate. And then Jesus will be reduced, as it were, to just a few followers. But if he answers in the negative, if he says, "No, you shouldn't give tribute to Caesar," then they have him, then they can report him to the authorities, to the governors, then they have some evidence that they can present to the Roman authorities. "Look, this man is uprising, he's saying we shouldn't pay taxes, he deserves to be arrested and punished," and so they could have him either way. So they thought, a yes-no question. But Jesus saw through these undercover agents. He knew exactly what they were doing. And he asked for this penny or a denarius. Don't think of a penny as a penny today. A penny today is not worth very much at all. You can just about buy, I'm not even sure you can even buy a penny sweet today. You could in my day. But today it's not worth very much. But a penny in those times in Palestine, or Latin name was denarius, was actually worth quite a fair bit. It was a silver coin, but it was worth, for a Roman soldier, it was a day's wage. Or a laborer, it was equivalent to a day's wage as well. It was considered good money for those times, a penny a day. And so the Lord asked for this denarius, this penny, and said, "Whose image and superscription hath it?" They answered and said, "Caesar's." And then verse 25, Christ's answer, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's." He's basically saying here, look at this coin. This coin, Rome has minted this coin. This coin has got Caesar's effigy on it. It's got his writing, his inscription is on it. Everything about this coin tells us that it is from Rome. It belongs to Rome. It comes from Rome. It belongs to Rome. So it's only right you give it back to Rome. The word render here is give again. It's important, as we'll see in a minute. Give back. Pay the debt that you owe. It's been given to you for your use. You're using it in your currency as a local currency in Palestine. You're benefiting from its use in society. You're making a living from it. You may be getting rich from using this penny, this denarius. It's only right, therefore, that you render something back again to the government, to Caesar, for the use of it. But then the Lord adds, and render unto God the things which be God's. He separates, you see. Yes, give unto Caesar the taxes. That's his due, but not worship. Worship, not a love and obedience that belongs to God. There's a distinction here. This belongs to Caesar. This belongs to God. You also owe God. You also must worship God. That belongs to him alone. Don't worship the deity, this human deity, which is no deity at all. Render, therefore, to God the things which be God's. Worship and that love and adoration that belongs to him. That's why everyone was stunned. Amazed when they heard his response, that in a moment of time he had given this deep and profound response. Well, friends, what are the lessons that we can learn from this for ourselves? Well, just one main thing I would want to present before you is that we all individually have obligations to God. We all, each one of us, owe God. Let me tell you a few things from here. Notice how when these men came to Jesus, they said, "Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no?" They used that general word, to give. Oh, the money is ours. It belongs to us. Should we give to Caesar or not? We have the freedom to do with it as we like. It's our money. We don't want to give it. But why should we give this money? Is it lawful for us to give it? Christ used a different word. Christ used the word render again unto Caesar. Give back again to Caesar that which he has first given to you. And that's a point for us to think on, to muse on. There are many whose people today who see their obligations to God from a wrong perspective. They think, oh, everything that I have, it's my own. Why should I give God anything? It belongs to me. My life belongs to me. The things I have in life, well, you know, I've worked hard for them. I've earned them in life. They're mine. Why should I hand them over to God? Why should I give my heart to God? They feel as if they are losing out by doing that. They think, well, I've reached this point in my life by my own merit. Why should I now hand it over to God himself? They think they're doing God a favor by giving over their lives to the Lord. Why should they worship him? But dear friends, that's a failure to see things in the right way. We think we've got it all and earned it all by ourselves, when really it's been given to us in the first place. Our powers, our abilities to gain money even, to advance in life, to advance in education, to go to college, to think about issues, to think things through, to get our certificates, to make our life comfortable. These are things that God has given to us. God has planted these things. He has given us the intellect. We weren't born highly intellectual people, but he gave us that capacity to take in information and the ability maybe to communicate or to manage things well, to speak in a way that we can use in our jobs and so on. These are endowments, friends, not something that was naturally within us, but they're God-given endowments, and it's only right that we render back again to God. You see it from that perspective, maybe it will change our thinking, maybe it will help us. We have received first from God, that's why we give back again to him. That's why we have an obligation to him. Maybe you're not persuaded. Maybe you're still not sure about that. Well, think about this also. From this passage we see how the Lord said, show me a penny. And when they brought that penny, he said, whose image and superscription hath it? They answered and said, Caesar's. Caesar's image and writing was stamped on that penny. And it's the same for us. Friends, God's image is stamped on you. Show me a man, we could say. Show me a woman. God's image is stamped on that man. God's image is stamped on that woman. Everything more or less about that person, that man or that woman, suggests to us that he belongs to God. He has abilities and capabilities far above the animals. He is far higher than the animals. He is so unique. You cannot really compare him with an animal. So it's somewhat foolish when people say we come from animals, because obviously they haven't thought things through, I think, about these things. Because man has such features about him which distinguish him above the animals, even the most intellectual animal that there is, whatever that may be. But the capacities that we have, friends, are so much higher and place man on a pedestal, a higher pedestal than any animal in this world. Man can reason. He can think things through. He can think over issues in depth. He can ask questions about life. He can ask questions about anything that comes across his way. He can look at things from different angles. He can, when he wants to make a decision, he can weigh things up, the advantages and the disadvantages. And he's thinking, and then he comes to a conclusion, a decision. All these thinking abilities, where do they come from? God has planted them in us. Friends, it is because God is a thinking God. God is a reasoning God. God is a personal God. What do you think about God, friends? What's your idea of God? A piece of wood? A piece of stone that doesn't think, that doesn't communicate? A piece of gold, maybe? In Hong Kong, they've got this great high statue. And they say, this is God. But it doesn't speak. It doesn't communicate. It doesn't think. It's just a piece of brass covered in some gold. God, the Bible says, is a thinking God. You think, you reason, because you bear something of his image. He reasons in a much higher way. You are creative. You create things. You change things. This world is full of inventions. Oh, how glad we are for modern inventions. That we have things in our kitchens, and we have the motor car, and we have the other things in life to make our life easier. And we're thankful for that. Man is always coming up with something new, and the internet and so on. We are creative. We come up with solutions to problems. And we come up with wonderful music that's created, the symphonies that are put in place. So man is able to use his creative abilities. Why does he have it? Why don't animals have it? Well, I've told you before, but imagine you're at a home and the electricity is cut out. There's no light in the house. What will you do? Well, if you are there and your dog is there, the dog will do nothing. The dog doesn't care. But you'll go, maybe you'll turn on your mobile phone for the flashlight, or you'll go and find a candle in the house. So you'll do something in response to, try and create a light in that darkness, but the dog will do nothing because he's an animal. You have the facility of speech, friends. Wonderful. Language, if you just think about language, it's enough to convince us, surely, that how much higher we are than animals. You can express your thoughts in detail. You can express yourself in words to others. You can write a book and express things in a book. You can describe people and places, and you can debate things. Animals, what can they do? They can only grunt. They can only bark. They can only say one or two very basic sounds to one another to warn one another and so on. It's very, very limited, friends. Oh, where do all these things come from that we have? They come because you are made in the image of God. God is a reasoning God. God is a creative God. God is a communicating God. He speaks to us. You speak to one another, he also speaks. And he has given us, in a very small measure, but a very real measure, God has stamped his image upon us, which suggests to us, friends, and tells us, you belong to him. You belong to God, and it's only right that you return thanks to him. You return your worship to him. Again, think about this, another thought. The Jews, as I said, were benefiting from the usage of this coin. They were trading with it. They were making money from it. They were making a living from it. So also for ourselves, isn't it? We too, as we've said, benefit from all God has given us. All that he has endowed us with. Those talents that are given to us. Our reasoning skills, our communicating skills, well, we can put them to good use in this life to make a living for ourselves, to get on in life, to use them for our advantage. Where would I be without those skills? What could I achieve if I didn't have them? Oh, friends, I am in debt to God. I owe him for these things. Shall I use these gifts he has given me for myself? Shall I just keep them for myself and my own ends and for my own purposes and for my own life and never give to God what I owe to him? Never give him any thanks and praise? Oh, friends, how can we do such a thing? Then also notice here in verse 25, there is a line of demarcation. The Lord says, render unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And again, this teaches us that, well, we know, isn't it, in life, we don't even have to be taught, but we know in life that we have to give to different kinds of people, different groups of people, respect and honor, whether it's the kings or the queens who are ruling, our leaders, we should respect them, whether it's our parents, we know we owe our parents. We know we should respect and love our parents. or the elderly that we see, even though we may not know them in the streets, we see them, we are to respect and honor such elderly folk, and to treat them with care also. We are to submit to certain groups of people. We know in life, we apportion honor to the king or to those who are leading us or to our parents and so on. We know that. But what about God? What about God? Does he have any honor in our life? Does he receive from us? Is there a portion that we are giving to God in our life? Is he receiving anything from us? Or are we withholding these things from him? Friends, we owe him worship. We owe him our obedience and love and respect. But are we robbing God of these things? Are we keeping it to ourselves or giving it to somebody else, that which belongs to God? Maybe we worship something else, that which should be directed to the Lord. We direct it to somebody else. You know, well, people today and well, always have tried to avoid paying their taxes because they said nobody likes to pay the taxes. And there are always those who try and avoid it to save a bit of money. Well, friends, there are people also who are deliberately trying to avoid paying their obligations to God. And they want to skip past it. They don't want to do it. They want to bypass that. But we shouldn't be like that, friends. God has invested so much in you and in me. He expects a return from us, just like a company. The company invests a lot of money in its employees, and it expects you, when you've come back from that training course, to make your contribution to the advance of the company. Or I know in Singapore, every year they send, or every year we have Singaporeans who are coming to this country to study at these universities, and they're paying extortionate fees. £20,000-£25,000 a year in tuition fees, sometimes more. Well, the Singapore government very kindly says, we'll support you. They choose a select number. We'll pay all those tuition fees and we'll give you some extra for your living expenses. But there's a condition. When you've graduated, you have to come back to Singapore. You have to work in the government for 5 years. You're bonded for 5 years back in Singapore. So must be some return. Everybody expects some return. Are you a parent? Of course. You expect some return from your children. You spend vast amounts of money looking after them. And time. You provide that home, that food, the love that they need, the education that you need. You invest so much in them. And surely you'd be very disappointed if you got nothing back in return. No love, no thanks, no appreciation from them. Oh friends, doesn't life teach us that we have these obligations and also even more to God? Oh, so much God has invested in us. Friends, there is a day of accountability. God has invested these things, and he will say to us, one day, on the day of judgment, what did you do with all that I gave to you? What have you done with it? What use have you made with these things? Have you put it to good use? Did you serve me? Did you love me? Did you believe in me? Oh, friends, if we have used it only for ourselves, that day will see us lose everything. Those things which he has given to us will be removed from us and taken away from us as we are separated from him. But very quickly, let me say, what kind of things do we owe God? What are those obligations that we have to him? Well, as I've mentioned already, we are made to worship him, to be in a relationship with God, to realize how great he is and how wonderful he is, to give glory to him. Am I a worshipper of God? Do I adore him? Do I love him? Do I serve him? I am to give my heart and to give my life over to God. I give him thanks? Is my life full of gratitude to him for what he has done for me? And so much more he has done. Friends, I owe him my belief. I owe him my faith. I ought to believe in him. It's only right that I believe in God. God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came from heaven, came into this world to make a way for sinners to be saved from their sins. Christ endured the cross so that we could be forgiven and pardoned all our sins. I owe, what does God ask me? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in what he has done. Trust in him. I owe him, friends, my belief. What a horrible thing to say, I don't believe in what Christ has done. I don't receive it for myself. Friends, we owe to God our faith, our belief. We owe him repentance. We owe him obedience in our lives. All these things are his due because he has been good to us. And he has demonstrated great love for us. Christ, in dying on the cross, demonstrated his great and mighty love for sinners to bring us back again into that right relationship with him. Why, friends, are you afraid to give your life back to God? Why won't you render back to God the things that he has first given to you? Are you afraid that you will lose out? Are you afraid that you will be poorer for doing so, as those people who are poorer for paying the tax or think they will be? Well, that may be true for them, but it's not true for in this situation, friends. When you render your life back to God, your life will be richer for it, spiritually richer for it. You will be better off for it. When you return in repentance and give your life back to the Lord, well, he will bless you with more gifts. He will give you spiritual life. You will have a connection with the living God. He will give you the power to pray, the power to communicate with him. He will give you the power to deal with a bad temper or with those inner sins that so often ruin us and spoil us. He will make you a kinder, gentler, better person. God will do that. God will give you the power to do that and so much more. He will lead you. He will guide you. Friends, we don't lose out. When we come back to God, we are winners in this sense. We are the ones who benefit. Though we do not deserve these blessings, God is good to us. Friends, if we only realize these things, that the life lived for God is the best life that there is that we can have in this world. It's a life in relationship with him, a life in relationship with our Maker, a life in relationship with our Savior, knowing his grace, knowing his help, knowing his blessing. Well, come to him, friends, even tonight, if you haven't done so. Come to the Lord, trust in him, seek him until you find him, and ask him to change you and to give you a new life and to help you to pay back unto him your obligations that you owe to him. Let's pray together.